Welcome to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and well, on Fridays, our quiz question often turns to things having to do with movies. And today, as we've done a time or two in the past, we'll devote more of our program to movie music. In fact, the grand tradition of classically trained composers writing for the movies goes back 100 years, probably, to Eric Satie and Saint-Saëns. And then, of course, you have notables such as Prokofiev and Shostakovich and William Walton. And the march goes on, including a composer whose music you'll hear from time to time in the mix of things here on Wisconsin Public Radio, Ennio Morricone. And with me today is somebody who's well-versed in his music. You may have heard him a couple of months ago on the midday. Was it?
December.
Was it that long ago? That is the voice of Raymond Benson, who is a composer and a film music expert and knowledgeable about things having to do with the cinema, and also an author of several James Bond books, among many other things. Anyway, welcome back to the midday.
Thank you for having me.
And what attracts you to the music of Ennio Morricone?
Well, I discovered him, you know, just about when everybody else in America did. Really, it was 1967 when the spaghetti westerns first started coming over here. Actually, they had begun in Italy in the early 60s, around 63. The first movie by Sergio Leone was A Fistful of Dollars. That was actually released in 1964 in Europe, but it took 3 years for it to make the trip across the Atlantic to America. So that's pretty much when Americans first heard Ennio Morricone. And I was in junior high school, I guess, and I was growing up. When I was growing up, I was not totally into rock and roll yet. I was mostly into film music. I was into John Barry and Burt Bacharach and stuff like that. And then Ennio Morricone came out, and I just went, "Wow, this is amazing stuff!" You know.
Well, some of it has become if not a cliche exactly, sort of emblematic of a whole attitude. I mean, just a few notes from, you know, some of,
right,
like,
well, I mean,
Fistful,
you know,
of Dollars. And
you see any commercial that has a Western theme, you're going to hear whistling and,
right,
twangy guitars and things like that. And that's all because, you know, Morricone's music was so iconic.
Iconic was the word I was looking for. And he had a fully classical training for, well, his first 25 years or so. Before he got into writing for the films, he was writing, quote, serious classical music.
Right, mostly on the sort of avant-garde side. Serious classical music. And he did study at some of the, you know, the biggest universities and music schools in Italy. And for a while, you know, he did make a living as a composer of classical music, and he still does. He still does that. But he needed to make a living.
Yeah.
So he got in the 1950s, he got into writing music for radio and then television, and then that transitioned into film.
Well, yeah, it's actually another composer I could have mentioned at the top two who would probably have in some ways a parallel career would be Nino Rota,
yes,
of Godfather fame, who,
right,
wrote
yeah, they were
all kinds of classical music, which again we play from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, best known for just a few notes from The Godfather is,
right,
all you need.
Right, right.
To
of course,
know.
He did all of Fellini's films too, and the music Nino Rota did for Fellini was amazing.
Well, because the
wonderful
advantage they had was there were some great films coming out of Italy in,
yeah,
those late 50s and yeah, forward. So was A Fistful of Dollars, was that sort of the thing that put Morricone on the world map?
It was. Fistful of Dollars, directed by Sergio Leone and starring Clint Eastwood. That put Clint Eastwood on the map, too. It put a lot of people on the map, that movie. And this first piece that we want to play is the main title from A Fistful of Dollars that was probably the first tune by Ennio Morricone that Americans heard.
There's a lot going on in that 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, they didn't have a very big budget for this movie and for the score, so Morricone tapped his childhood friend, a guy named Alessandro Alessandroni, who had a little group called the Cantori Moderni. And that was the chorus that you were hearing, and he
singing
was the guy
what?
Whistling.
We can fight? So
yeah, I think that's what they're saying. But Alessandro Alessandroni is the whistler.
The whistler, which is not an easy thing to pull off.
No, and he also played the guitar. So he was playing the little electric guitar. So he Morricone worked with them a lot. Now, all during the 60s, Morricone was doing other movie scores in Italy. In fact, to date, he has scored over 500 movies. Now, most of those are Italian films that we would never see. But, you know, he did eventually, once his name got known, came over to Hollywood and started working with American directors and stuff.
Do you have a sense from what we've just heard so far that this is a composer who was rooted in classical music?
From that, you wouldn't think so. You'd almost think this was more, you know, pop or rock-oriented. But, you know, he just had to use his imagination. You know, he says, well, you know, since I can't afford a full orchestra, I'll use a whip and a gun and a bell and the whistling and, you know. And it's very bizarre when you think of it. You know, think about it. It's just,
well, let's see. He's not the first composer to use a whip because Leopold Mozart used one of those. Actually, yeah. He also used a shotgun. Leopold Mozart did in one piece. And so there's a long tradition of that, too. The electric guitar, obviously a latter-day thing, thanks largely to a Wisconsinite by the name of Les Paul.
Oh, right, yeah.
But very much a thing of the early 60s, I would say, that overall effect. Yeah.
Should we go on? All right. The next track is the title from the second Spaghetti Western that we saw with Clint Eastwood, and that was For a Few Dollars More, which was released in 1965 in Europe. And again, it took to 1967 for it to come to America. So here's For a Few Dollars More.
Well, he's got a groove there.
Yeah.
some similarity between that and the
right,
one
it's
that
it's definitely a sequel.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, it was the next one that really he completely burst out of that. And although The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a sequel to the first two, it really goes above and beyond.
Yeah, so what makes it go above and beyond? I mean, it is, you've used that word iconic, it is the iconic Western film score, but what makes it different from what we've heard so far?
Well, when you hear it, there's so many bizarre things going on in it. You know, there's guys going wow, 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 you know, and things like that. And he not only the whistling, but he's got sounds that sound like a coyote howling, which was what he was going after. He wanted a sound that sounded like a coyote. It's just all over the place. It's like a war going on. You know, it takes place during the Civil War, the movie. So he brings some of that in there, and it's just, you know, Hugo Montenegro did a cover of this song, and it was released as a single in America, and it went to number one. And it was a much more commercial, easygoing, almost
kind of smoothed over
version, and that's kind of what people kind of remember when they hear this original one from the movie. It's like, wow, that's just amazing. And to this day, I think it's the greatest, or it's at least my favorite main title song of any movie anywhere.
Well, here we go. This is the good, the bad, and
the ugly.
Oh. be interesting to see what the score looks like.
Oh, I know.
You know? Cue horse snorting sounds right here, and the coyote effect, and the Mexican trumpeters, and a little bit of everything.
I mean, that's definitely avant-garde. I mean, you can't call it anything else.
In the abstract, it would be. We are going to hear more of the movie music of Ennio Morricone right after this. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. And now back to the film music of Ennio Morricone, who, it's easy to say he made a specialty of Westerns, but he wrote so many other things
that really can't be
pigeonholed.
He did comedies, he did dramas, he did crime dramas. For example, he did the score for La Cage aux Folles. That was a very lighthearted comedy music, you know. This next track, though, is one of his more famous pieces. It is from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It is one of the deeper tracks, but it accompanies one of the best scenes of the movie when Eli Wallach, playing the role of Tuco, is searching for the grave in this huge cemetery where the gold is buried. And this piece is called The Ecstasy of Gold. And Metallica, the heavy metal band, they always play this piece, this actual track, before their concerts.
Why would that be?
They love it, I guess.
Just because they like it.
I think so.
Okay, well, that's a good reason.
So here's The Ecstasy of Gold.
Well, we'll find out later if he actually finds what he's looking for.
Well, if you've seen the movie, you know.
If you've seen the movie, you know. Let's get in one more Western one before we go to the quiz question, just after 12:30. At least I assume it's a Western. The
yes.
Ecstasy of Gold about has to be, right?
Well, Once Upon a Time in the West is
and
the next
Once
one.
Upon a Time in the West.
Yes, and this was 1968, another Sergio Leone. It starred Henry Fonda, Charles Bronson, Jason Robards, and Claudia Cardinale. The female vocalist that you heard in the last piece was a woman named Edda Dell'Orso, who was a member of Cantori Moderni, and he worked with her a lot, Morricone, and she's also featured in this next track.
I think you start to see that classical training coming out in that
it's
one.
A beautiful melody. I just think it's gorgeous.
And lots of those lush strings in there, too. Back with Raymond Benson now and music of Ennio Morricone, a multifaceted composer. Let's see, he's still with us, isn't he, at the age
of... Oh, yeah, he's 84. He'll be 85 in November.
And is he still composing?
He's still composing. I think his last film was last year. he's still doing stuff. And he's doing... live concerts now.
Live concerts.
Yep, with an complete orchestra. Yeah.
Okay, I think we've passed through his Western phase for the time being, at least, and because I think a movie called Duck You Sucker probably is not a Western.
It is a Western.
Is it a Western?
It was the last Western that Sergio Leone directed.
Is it?
This came out in 72. It starred Rod Steiger and James Coburn.
Oh, okay. Heavy hitters.
When it was first released, it was called Duck You Sucker, and it didn't do very well at the box office, so they re-released it with the title A Fistful of Dynamite. And it still didn't do very well. But it's not a bad movie, and the score, I think, is really one of Morricone's best. And here's the title song from Duck You Sucker.
Thank you. That was for a Western.
Yes, it was.
I can see where they'd have some issues.
Well, it's played mostly during like flashbacks of a love relationship and things like that, but that is the main theme. Now, this next piece was for an American production. The director was Terrence Malick. The movie was Days of Heaven, 1978, and actually this was the first time Morricone was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Score. You'd think he would have been nominated for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly or some of that iconic stuff, but he wasn't. But this next piece, Malick wanted to use a piece by Saint-Saëns from Carnival of the Animals called The Aquarium.
Sure, yes.
And he did use it as the main title, but he told Morricone, can you make another theme that kind of starts with The Aquarium and then takes off on your own? And so this is the piece that he composed for it. It's called Harvest.
Sure enough. Certainly conjures a mood.
Yes, yeah. Very moody movie, too, if you've never seen it. It's really a wonderful film.
That's Harvest.
Days of Heaven, yeah, was the film.
And now back with Raymond Benson and film music of Ennio Morricone. And it is intriguing to think of how he would compose some of these things. Would you, like so many composers, you suppose he's just at the piano, for starters?
I would think so. You know, he was a trumpet player to begin with. That's what he studied. He was... You know, played the trumpet. And I think he still plays the trumpet on a lot of his scores, too.
Really?
A lot of the music he did for Sergio Leone, he would compose it before the film was even shot. And he would bring the music to Sergio Leone. He said, okay, here's this piece and this piece. And Leone would actually film it to the music.
So that's different.
That's he would choreograph the scenes to the music.
So that's why they fit so well.
Yeah.
And so when you're sitting at the piano and you're thinking of music of Morricone, how do you approach it? You're kind of reducing it back down.
Yeah, this is a little more minimalist. and you're going to hear, I'm going to do a medley of two of the songs we've already heard. So you can see how I've kind of pared them down a little bit.
Thank you.
Well, you can get certainly the rhythmic sense from that, and that little figure still comes out no matter what.
Yeah.
Fun at parties, I'll bet.
It is, actually.
Let's see if we can get into two more before we get to the results of the quiz question. Famous title, Cinema Paradiso.
Oh, yeah, it's one of his more beautiful pieces. Let's take it away.
Cinema Paradiso, and as long as we're on the kind of paradise theme, you have On Earth as It Is in Heaven.
That's from the movie The Mission, 1986, and Morricone was nominated for an Oscar for this score as well. He was nominated 5 times, never won it competitively, but they gave him an honorary Oscar in 2007. So this is one of the, a grandiose finale of The Mission, On Earth as It Is in Heaven.
On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Well, you can see the style even far as we are from the Westerns at this point.
Right,
there's still
right.
Some connectors there between early Morricone and later.
He could do some really gorgeous melodies, just very sweeping, lush, romantic stuff.
Well, Raymond Benson, thanks for stopping by again today.
My pleasure.
Actually, not stopping by, coming over from Chicago.
Yeah.
So, a great opportunity to hear some of that film music of Ennio Morricone.